name of a good shepherd who loves us, who provides for us, who leads us, who cares for us. And God, I'm just more and more amazed at this truth that you want us to call on your name. You want us to talk to you. You want to hear our voices. You love our presence. You invite us into your house. You prepare a table. You feed us. You clothe us. You guide us. You lead us. Father, our response is that you are our Lord. And we bow before you. And we surrender anew and afresh and again to you. The Lord, forever. You are the beginning and the end of our lives. And we are so secure in you because of your faithfulness. As we turn to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. Thank you that you know us so well. God, I ask that you would use my words to speak to the hearts of your people. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. So it again happened somewhere in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I think. Someone came to me. Oh, sorry, the Jam guys, you're supposed to go out. They got the slide. Someone came to me and they said, I said something 2 weeks ago in a message, or 3 weeks ago, I can't remember. And then I said, well, what did I say? And he told me what I said, and I'm pretty sure I never said that. But that's not important. What is important is that they heard it. Does that make sense? Because God knows where you are. God knows who you are. And God is able to speak to you. And it happened years ago when we still had CDs and tapes and things like that. Someone would literally come 6 months after a message and they say, 6 months ago, Pastor so-and-so preached on this topic. Can you find me that message? I want to listen to it again. And then we can't find it because they heard something completely, not different, but they heard what God was speaking to them. So my prayer is that may you hear what God wants to say to you in this morning. So we are journeying through Psalm 23, and there's some themes that are beginning to develop. So it starts off with this idea that the Lord is my shepherd, and it ends with that, the Lord forever, I will dwell in his house forever. So that theme of the Lord forever, that encompasses and enfolds and bookends everything that is in the middle. And then there's a couple of verses that deal with his provision. He leads me into green pastures. He brings me to the streams of peaceful waters. He guides me. That's his provision, materially, in our emotions, in our guidance. Then we get to the part where we go through difficult times. We go through the valley of the shadow of death. And we go through these difficult seasons and difficult times, and we get to the place where there's victory from that difficult season or through that difficult season as he leads us and as he guides us. And from today, we're going to becoming out of that season, and we're going to be seeing what does it look like at the other end of this difficult time and of this victory that we have in God. And I just put it up here. He lifts our head. There are many different themes that we can ascribe to that. But we're going to beginning to see this coming out of this dark, difficult place through the place of victory into what God has for us on the other side of that. So this morning, as we continue to discover that I have all that I need because of him, this morning we're looking at the fact that he is my honor. It says, you honor me by anointing my head with oil. A New Living Translation includes that phrase, you honor me. Most other translations simply says that you anoint my head with oil. And the New Living Translation begins to delve a little bit into some of the meaning of what it means to be anointed and what that anointing looks like. So years ago, because anointing is such a strange word. It's actually foreign to us because we don't do it anymore. We don't really know what it means. So years ago, I was at the privilege of being in an outreach in Zambia. I think it was 1998 somewhere. And I had a message that I once shared there with the people, but you work through a translator. So I used the following. I said, anointing means to rub with oil, because that's what it means to anoint something. It means that you rub it with oil or put oil on it. So the translator was translating, but I can immediately hear that something is wrong, because he was not saying what I was saying. As I was saying, anointing means to rub with oil. I spoke to him afterwards. What he said was, to rub with oil means to rub with oil, because there's no word for anointing in their language. Sometimes we get so caught up in the word and how spiritual this word is and how large this word is and how impressive this word is that we actually don't mean know what it means. It just means to rub with oil or to put oil on someone's head. So when they anointed a king, literally they took the oil and they poured it over him. When the shepherd anointed the head of his sheep, and we'll get that into that in a moment, he literally took oil and he rubbed it into the head of the sheep. It is as basic as that. But it has some very significant meanings, and we're going to look at three of them this morning. Firstly, this idea of honor. You anoint my head to honor me, to bring me to a place of honor. There's a story in the Bible. It's the story of the woman of the alabaster jar. Alabaster, again, one of those words we don't know. It's like a sandstone. And what they did is they took this block of soft stone and they carved a container out of it. That's why it's called an alabaster jar. It was filled with perfume. And this was a lady of ill repute, a sinful lady. And Jesus was invited to eat at a religious leader's house. And as they were eating and drinking or whatever the case might be, this woman came up and says, actually, she was behind him. And she anointed his feet with this perfume from this alabaster jar. It said that she began to cry and her tears fell on his feet, and she took her hair to wipe and dry his feet. And then Jesus says the following to Simon, the person who invited him. He says, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you did not offer me water to wash the dust of my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time that I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. And we see this picture that as you came into someone's house as a guest, they would honor you. They would welcome you. Now, we might have different traditions. There might be a welcome drink, or there might be a small little chocolate or something. There might be a card in today's context. But in those contexts, in that time, what you did when you honored a guest and you welcomed them into your house, you washed their feet. Why? Because they walked on dusty road with sandals and their feet were literally dirty. So you wash their feet. You kiss them to greet them. And you put oil on their head. And the psalmist says, but this is what God does to me. Meaning, I am his guest. And he's welcoming me in his presence. I prayed something strange this morning. Some of you might have thought I prayed it wrong. I said, God loves our presence. Because we normally pray it the other way around. We say, Lord, we love your presence. But have you ever thought about that? That God wants you to be with him. That he enjoys your presence. Isn't that exactly why he died on the cross? So that we can enter through the blood of Jesus and be with him. But when we enter, he welcomes us. He wants us to be in His presence. So this is a picture that depicts the prodigal son. He's dirty. His hair is messed up. His clothes are torn. Emotionally, he's scarred. He's a mess. And he decides that he's going to go back to his father. We know the story so well. I want you to see how the father welcomes him. And while he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against you." But the father said, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring and put it on his feet, finger, and sandals on his feet. And kill the calf that had been fattened. We must celebrate with a feast. For the son of mine was dead, and now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found." And so the party started. Can you imagine that God is willing to throw a party for you? He's willing to anoint your head with oil. He's willing to welcome you in His presence because He enjoys your presence. So as we journey through Psalm 23, which is actually a journey of life, we learn certain things about God, about His provision, about His faithfulness. We go through difficult seasons and we experience how He carries us through those seasons and brings us out on the other side. I want to say to you that you are welcome. You are welcome in God's presence. When you enter into His presence, He will not treat you in the same way that Simon treated Jesus. But He will wash your feet. He will kiss you. And He will anoint your head with oil. He will say to the servants, "Bring the robe, bring the ring, bring the sandals. Slaughter the fattened calf. Let the feast begin." And I want you to grasp that. That when you are with God, you are welcome. And on earth, we have things to do that. If you arrive at a hotel or a lecture or something fancy, they make you feel welcome in a certain way. God will make you feel welcome in His presence. Secondly, this anointing that David writes about is got a very practical thing, and that's for healing. Because sheep have the tendency to look like this and do things like this. And maybe you recognize yourself, you look like that in the mirror. You stuck your head into some things that you should not have stuck your head. You got caught on the thorn bushes of life. And some of that is the thought life, the emotions, the trauma, the difficult things that we go through. And quite literally what the good shepherd would do is he would take oil and he would rub it into the head of the lamb or the sheep, around the ears and the nose. Because if there were scars, if there were cuts, it would bring healing to that. But more importantly, it would keep the flies and the other insects away so they don't climb into the ears and the nose and create all sorts of chaos. Quite literally, God wants to do that with you as He pours oil over your head. He wants to bring healing to your emotions, to your trauma, to the thoughts that run away. I want to read you a fairly lengthy passage, and you know it. You've probably heard phrases of it and will remember and recognize phrases, but I want to read the whole chapter. It's Isaiah chapter 53. And I want you to hear how Jesus took this mess of your life upon Him. and how he became the sheep, the lamb in your place, so that you can be free. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. You see, it begins to describe Jesus on the cross, but it's actually describing us and when we were found in our condition of sin. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with the deepest of grief. We turned our backs on him and we looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that he carried. It was our sorrow that weighed him down. It was through his troubles, and we through his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sin. For our own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion and crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we can be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. And he was oppressed and threatened or treated harshly. Yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before its shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, and that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. He was buried with criminals and was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him, to cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hand. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all our sins. And I will give him the honor of a victorious soldier, because he exposed himself to death and he was accounted among the rebels. He bore the sin of many and interceded for rebels. And you see how Jesus took our sheep head that was in a mess. Not only does he come and he rubs oil, but he literally dies on the cross. And his blood flows so that you and I can be redeemed and set free. Romans 5 and verse 8, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And as God comes and he rubs oil on your head, he says, you are worthy. He says, I have the ability to wipe away the shame, wipe away the guilt, wipe away the sorrow, wipe away the brokenness. And he whispers in your ear, you are worthy. After he's invited you in to come and sit in his table, to be the special guest, to eat with him, to be in his presence, he whispers in your ear, you are worthy. I've wiped away the mess. I've made you whole. Lastly, this oil is an oil that, or this anointing oil, is something that consecrates. Again, difficult word, but we spent some time earlier in the year talking a lot about this. So what is consecration? Consecration is when God says to man, take something of ordinary use, take a vase, a bowl, a knife, a table, and rub it with oil, anoint it, and suddenly it's no longer just something ordinary, but now it becomes set apart for a holy and a specific purpose. So we read about this in Exodus, where God says, take the anointing oil and anoint. Take the oil and rub oil on all the furnishings to consecrate them. So it's ordinary furniture, ordinary utensils. It gets wrapped with oil, and now it's no longer just ordinary, now it's holy. It's set apart, it is special. Anoint the altar of burnt offerings and its utensils to consecrate them. Then the altar will become absolutely holy. Next, anoint the wash basin and its stands to consecrate them. What God wants to do is He wants to anoint you. He wants to take the ordinary you, the broken you, the messed up you, the one of you that's not able, like Moses, I cannot speak, or like Gideon, I am too weak. And we can continue in that theme. He wants to come to you, rub your head with oil. And He wants to say that you are special. You are welcome. You are worthy. And you are special. And I want to challenge you that possibly in one of these three, you might be stuck. Maybe you never feel welcome in His presence. If you enter His house, He will kiss you. He'll call the servants to prepare the feast. He will anoint your head with oil because you are welcome in His presence. He enjoys your presence. If you spend a little bit of time in His presence, some of the things that are stuck inside will maybe come to the forefront. And Jesus will say, don't worry, because I'm going to anoint your head. And there with the ears where you have lent your ears out to the wrong people and you've listened to what they say about you, I'm going to come and I'm going to rub that with my oil. I'm going to bring healing in your life. I'm going to restore the truth that you are worthy. And that He took all of that, that mess, that brokenness. He was despised so that you don't have to be despised. He was rejected so that you don't have to feel and carry rejection. He died without descendants so that you don't have to die without descendants. I just feel God wants to speak specifically to parents whose older adult children don't want anything to do with you. And I encourage you to allow Him to come and anoint your head with oil, bring healing. And then pray Psalm 23 over those children. Because God died, Jesus died without descendants so that you can have descendants. He carried all your pain, all your anguish, so that you could be free from that. And the moment that you begin to believe that He has made you worthy, He'll come again and He'll whisper again and He'll anoint your head again, but this time to set you apart, to declare that you are special. And I want to say to you that each and every single one of you is special. You are special. You might feel that, but your world is so small, your influence is so limited. You are special. You are special. And whatever God has placed around you, and whatever influence you have in that space, He has called you to be special, to be His anointed person who's been set apart for a specific task and a specific function and a specific role. I'm just reminded, we attended the GLS in Pretoria and we listened through some of the sessions, and one of the sessions is from John Maxwell, and he says people so often come up to him and they ask him, but what's God's purpose for my life? What I'm talking about, if I am so special, what am I special for? And in those cases, he always goes back to the passage where Jesus says that we are to be salt and we are to be light. Friend, you are special. You are special and you are called to be salt and you are called to be light. If you read that passage further, it says that we don't hide the light under a bucket. And can you hear God whispering to you this morning that it's time to get out from underneath the bucket? You are special. You are welcome with Him. You are worthy because of Him. And He's made you special. You want to throw off the bucket and allow that light to shine. And if you impact one person, then you impact one person. That's enough. If that's what God has made you special for, to impact one person, then your cry must be, God, let me impact that one person. If it is 10 or 100, 1,000, just be special as He's made you special. You want to close your eyes for a second? If you sit here this morning and you say, but yeah, I don't always feel welcome in His presence. Can I ask you that when I speak these next words, you hear them as if they are from God? I love you. I want you in my presence. I enjoy hearing your voice. I love it when you tell me about your day. I will welcome you in my presence. That is why I died, so that you can be restored in a relationship to me. Maybe there's some of you sitting here and you feel a little bit like the prodigal son, and you have this speech prepared. Can you see how the Father runs up to you? How He doesn't listen to your speech. He's not interested. He's already paid the price for your speech. And He throws His arms around you. He puts a robe on you. He puts a ring on you. He puts sandals on your feet. And the party starts because He loves your presence. Maybe you sit here this morning and there's been just so much that happened in your life that you don't feel worthy. You know the truth. You know that Jesus died for you. But you've never fully allowed yourself to believe that you are worthy, that you are good enough, that His blood is powerful enough to wipe away all of the dirt. The theological word for this is that you can be righteous, that you can be made right with God, that you can be worthy, that you can feel like you are good enough because of Him. You are worthy. Father, would you pour out your oil of anointing on those who feel unworthy? Will you come and clear the cobwebs of lies in our minds? You get the flies out of our ears. Would you come and heal the wounds? And lastly, maybe you sit here and you say that I know that God has good plans for us and that we should work with Him, but I've never understood what I can do for Him. You are special. God has anointed you to be special. Father, would you just come gently and lead each one and show each one where you are probably already using them. Cause them to see that. Cause them to lean into that. Cause them to recognize that. Oh God, we pray that as we step out of this space and we step into the normality of our lives, may we have to deal with co-workers and friends and family. God, would you give us a grace to hear their hearts and to see their pain and to be salt and light to them. God, just as we prayed for those kids earlier this morning and we sent them out on a planned outreach next Saturday, thank you that you are sending each one of us out in this moment with a special task. And Holy Spirit, as you anoint us, would you come and empower us to recognize that and to step into it and to do that. May we show your love and your life to those around us. Father, thank you that you're a good shepherd. Thank you that your word is filled with so much richness. Thank you that we can spend hours and hours on one sentence that you say. Father, as you draw us into your presence, I ask that you speak to us. Open your word to us. Transform our thinking and launch us into action. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.